from 4 till 7.
105 Drive with Julian Clover.
Now, the Addenbrookes Charitable Trust has a new event taking place on Saturday. It's part of its ACT on Cancer campaign, and it is a concert at Trinity College. I'm pleased to say that Simon Oberst is here from the Addenbrookes Charitable Trust to tell me a little bit more about that and the work of the Trust itself. Hello, Simon.
Hi, Julian.
Thank you very much for coming into 105 tonight. There's something about cancer, isn't there, that grips the public's imagination, really, and makes them want to go into their pockets and quite often give very generously indeed.
Yes, you're absolutely right, Julian. I mean, that's because it affects so many people. The statistics are a bit alarming that by 2020, almost one in two of us will have a cancer diagnosis sometime in our life. And
but I've heard one in three, as I think, back in my mind, as a current thing. So what's forcing the change, do you know?
The latest statistics released by Macmillan just in January show that incidence is increasing, and that's because we're all living longer and we're not dying of other things like infectious diseases that we used to die of. So that, I'm afraid, is the statistic.
But so do I say that, you know, the consumption doesn't get us, so that the cancer does, or is that a little bit too simplistic?
It's along the right lines,
Okay, that's interesting. Have you been touched by cancer yourself?
Not in my own family, strangely, but of course I know lots of people, colleagues, including doctors and people in the research community I work with who have been affected by cancer, yes.
Mm. Of course, it's been in the news over the last few days. We've got the, if you like, the accidental selfie campaign, which has been encouraging people to, women to take photographs of themselves without makeup, men to put makeup on. And I think the last figure I heard is that it's raised something like £8 million. The Cancer Research UK, which, as I understand, has a facility in Cambridge.
Cambridge is the largest and the best funded of Cancer Research UK's major cancer centres. About £40 million from CR UK goes into Cambridge Research every year, which is an astonishing sum. Yeah.
Yeah, no, very much so. And this particular campaign, it's one of these things that's just sort of taken off without as I say, the charity not actually knowing itself as to how it started, but clearly very grateful for the both the awareness and for the for funds which are coming in.
Well, you're right. Awareness is a huge thing, and awareness, too, of the lifestyles that we need to all begin to adopt, actually, to decrease the chances of us getting cancer. Obviously, smoking is still the main thing, but also obesity and drinking too much alcohol. These are still big factors. So the public awareness about how to reduce your risks of cancer, too much red meat, etc., you know, are really important. But yes, this campaign's really taken off, a bit like, you know, a version of the Movember campaign for prostate cancer, which goes on every November, which even I got caught up in this last year.
Oh dear, oh good, according to which way you look at it. How much did you raise, can I ask?
Oh, a couple of £100, but yes, it was oh dear. Yes, yeah. Talk to my friends.
Oh dear, oh dear again. What's the ACT looking to do as part of the ACT on Cancer campaign?
Yes, the Addenbrookes Charitable Trust launched this Act on Cancer campaign in October for three things, really. To raise money for new cancer buildings that we desperately need in Addenbrookes. Secondly, to provide new equipment, especially for prostate cancer imaging. And thirdly, for research, especially to encourage younger scientists to come into the field and to be paid for as they get their career going in cancer research.
So is this something, this is quite interesting, so it's not, obviously raising the money is a very important part of it all, but also you'd think there'd be people stepping forward all the time wanting to actually assist with research against cancer.
Well, you're right, and in fact income carries on coming into Addenbrookes Charitable Trust for cancer the whole time. It's just this is a big campaign. We've reached the stage in Addenbrookes where we recognise that despite the fantastic science that goes on, the great doctors and surgeons we've got, actually, if you come to, let's say, outpatients in Addenbrookes, the buildings are 1960s, they're claustrophobic, they're cramped, we haven't got enough clinic rooms, and all that, you know, contributes to a delay in the service. So we do actually need radically new buildings on a new site for our cancer services. So that's really the main spring behind this campaign.
The one thing I never quite understand about this sort of thing is where the NHS stops and, if you like, the charitable and the funding exercise starts, because one would expect our government and our wonderful NHS service to have a pot of money there, which is also helping the facilities in order to get things moving. True, if a hospital or other organisation wants to go the extra mile, then maybe yes, some extra funding might need to be raised locally without drawing on central funds. But one might expect a little bit more money to coming in from the national government.
You've raised a fantastic question, and I think knowing the finances of the hospital and other foundation trusts as I do, I'm an accountant, not a doctor. Really, my perception is that the current tariffs that that commission has paid to hospitals are sufficient to run the current service, but they really aren't enough to finance all the capital building that's required. You know, hospital buildings are expensive. And part of the response to that, of course, is to try and prevent people coming into hospital when they don't really need to, or they need to be at home, assisted and supported if possible. But for those acutely ill patients who do need to come in, or for these kind of chemotherapy services that we're now talking about, providing accommodation for, you need great buildings. And the tariffs, quite frankly, don't fully cover that. And, you know, that story needs to be told, I think, a bit more publicly and politically.
OK, let's look forward then to Saturday and the concert which is taking place at Trinity College. We'll start, before we go any further, with a piece of music. This is Johann Sebastian Bach. I think I might ask you to pronounce what it's called in case my knowledge of languages lets me down here.
Sure, this is the last part of his great motet, Singet dem Herren, Sing to the Lord, which will feature in our concert on Saturday evening. And this particular recording is by my old choir, after I'd left it, actually, Trinity College, Cambridge.
Oh, wonderful. The choir of Trinity College in Cambridge, directed by Richard Marlowe there. I enjoyed that, Simon. That was pretty good.
It's a great piece. It's a wonderful piece and very well sung there.
My guest is Simon Urbest. We're talking about the Addenbrookes Charitable Trust. We've been saying about some of the work that they do, but also this weekend, as part of the fundraising, is the Celebration of Life in Trinity College Chapel. And it's the first performance by, I guess, an ensemble called Cambridge Baroque. Tell me a little bit about them, Simon.
Well, this is a brand new ensemble that I'm launching together with my colleague Penny Verriard. And it's a small soloistic choir of about 18 singers, friends of mine from, you know, way back, but all generations, in fact. And with a little string orchestra as well, four string players and a chamber organ. So really exploring the great music of the 17th and 18th centuries, the Baroque music. You may not think there's room for another choir in Cambridge, and this one may not perform many times a year.
But bicycle shops, choirs, we've got plenty of drama groups. That's the other one. There's no shortage.
That's right.
Always room for more.
I hope so.
Mm-hmm. So I'm quite intrigued by this. So what happened? Did you just sort of sitting around one evening having a chat and then thinking, we could get something together here, and then make a few phone calls, or what happened?
Well, when you sit down and you think, what's the music I would really like to sing? And I've been a singer for most of my life. And you think, well, if I form my own group, you know, I could sing exactly the kind of repertoire that I like to sing, and, you know, organise it, conduct it myself. Although I think this group may not need that much conducting, it'll be so good. So that's the driver behind it, and I think it'll be very enjoyable. I think this Celebration of Life concert will be great. Tickets are already selling very well, but they'll be available on the door at 7:30 at Trinity. And it'll be the music I've chosen is full of life, full of joy, because we want to really celebrate the fact that cancer is not all a death sentence, that survival rates are getting so much better for people with cancer. And so we need to celebrate life, and that's why we've chosen that theme.
It sounds pretty good. And presumably most, if not all, of the admittance fee will go to the Addenbrookes Books Charitable Trust and your current campaign.
You're absolutely right. All the professionals, whether the violinists or singers who are professionals, are giving their time free. So, and Trinity College has been very generous as well, so that all proceeds from the concert will go straight to the campaign.
Oh, that's great. Well, Simon, thank you very much for coming in and chatting to Cambridge 105 tonight. Best of luck with the concert. Hope it goes well for you.
It's been a pleasure. Thanks.